Well, we gotta wait for two more.
Yeah, so oh, well, I had a bum knee, you know, I was in a brace last week, and I went to the ortho doctor, and it turned out it was just arthritis, and he gave me a shot, and it feels like almost like new, so I praise God for that. Here we go.
Thank you, Father. We are your children, and it's really humbling to view you as Father. And we ask, Lord, that you guide us into your ways. And I thank you, Lord, that you invited us into your house. And even though knowing what we were like, I am thankful, Lord, for all you did. And I thank you for Jesus, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you would just bless these offerings that we give, and that you would be pleased and that they would be used for your purposes. And so I just thank you, for yours is the kingdom and yours is the glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Today's reading is from Proverbs 3, verses 13 to 26. If I may just say one little comment before I read this. I noticed that Solomon has given wisdom a female. He refers to wisdom as female, and I kind of think it's like man and wife. And you know, I was just impressed. I read through this morning, and it's like we choose wisdom, but really choose is not a very good word, because do we choose our wives? Well, I guess we do, but it's not like, well, here's the 10 finalists and let's see, I'll pick this one. It's not that choose, and I like it better, we find our wives or we find our husbands. It's kind of like we find something that's good, and we want to be with them for the rest of our lives, and we want to know everything about them. And it's like she's the one, and there is no other choice. So with that in mind, let us read this passage. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life in her right hand, and in her left are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundation. By understanding he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew.
Lord, we thank you for wisdom. We thank you for life, for the tree of life. And we thank you for Proverbs and the wisdom of Solomon and others that we receive through that. And may it become more real to us today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the second message. Mike just gave you the first one. That was very good, Mike. Thank you. You did cut it a little short, but I'm going to go back and read it, so that's no problem. You stopped a little early, but that's okay. I have trouble seeing those numbers of verses. Yeah, that's fine. No problem. You know that we're going through Proverbs, and last week I played a song, and this week I'm not going to play a song, but I'm going to talk about a song. One of my favorite movies and plays, it was a play, and I saw it as a play. I don't often see plays, but then it became a movie, and it was, at the time it ran, the longest running play on Broadway. It's now still in the top 16, but it was the longest at the time. And I'm talking about Fiddler on the Roof. It's a wonderful story. And there's several great numbers in there. And the theme that I want us to look at today in Proverbs is life, just life. And there's a scene in Fiddler on the Roof where the lead character, Tevye, who's got three daughters, each who marries in ways that challenge the traditions. The first one got engaged through a matchmaker, Yenta, to a butcher named Leza Wolf. And this song to life was celebrating the fact that Tevye was going to give his daughter Zeitel to Leza Wolf. And yet Leza Wolf was Tevye's age. I mean, he was an older man, and it was kind of an unusual get-together, but good old Zeitel wanted to marry the tailor, Muddle, and many of you might know this story, but it turned out that she never did marry Leza Wolf. But the song to life was celebrating this agreement between Zeitel's father and her potential husband. And so in this bar room in Russia, where they were, Tevye started a toast to life. And the Hebrew word for life is chayim, and to life is l'chayim. So the song, I'm going to read some of this. I'd love to sing it. I actually would have loved to play it for you, but it's about 6 minutes long from the movie. I just think there's some interesting words. In fact, it's a little hard to pick up the words if you're watching all the dancing and all the carrying on that went on. But here's some of the lyrics from To Life. I'm tempted to even sing some of it, but not a lot of my kids are sick today, so I'm not getting this. Don't do it, Dad. Don't do it. Tevye starts out, "Here's to our prosperity, to our good health and happiness, and most important of all, well, to life, l'chaim." And that's how it, and then they go, "L'chaim, l'chaim, to life." And that is a refrain that keeps going. Life has a, but listen to, this is interesting how this play has such meaning, and how it picks up meaning in this boisterous song. Life has a way of confusing us, blessing and bruising us. Drink l'chaim to life. God would like us to be joyful, even when our hearts lie panting on the floor. How much more can we be joyful when there's really something to be joyful for? To life, l'chaim. And then later on in the song it says, "May all your futures be pleasant ones, not like our present ones. Drink l'chaim to life, l'chaim, 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 to life." The situation was pretty rough in that Russian town, and eventually they had to leave it at the end of the movie. And then here's how it ends. To us and our good fortune, be happy, be healthy, long life. And if our good fortune never comes, here's to whatever comes. Drink l'chaim to life. And it ends with Tevye saying, to life! Today, I want us to think about life. How basic can you get? Life. What is life? What does life mean? What in our lives consist of the essence of being alive? It's a pretty interesting topic. And it's very foundational. Very foundational. In fact, I was drawn to these verses in Proverbs because it refers to the tree of life. And I'm going to show you now how, many of you know this, the tree of life is part of Genesis in the first two chapters of the Bible, and it's part of the last chapter at the end of Revelation, the tree of life. And sin keeps man and woman from eating the tree of life. They were banished from the garden so they couldn't eat from the tree of life. Let's look at this first, these words in Proverbs. Then I want to look at Genesis. And then later we'll look at Revelation. But I'm just going to go over these and we'll get through the rest of it. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom. I love that analogy, Mike, that you gave. You know, we find wisdom. You know, in some respects, I've also heard that we don't find God, God finds us. You know, it's some people in the world and other religions are busy, you know, with meditation and incantations and trying to find God and going to the pyramids and all the kinds of things they do to find God, when God's come to us, and we believe that as Christians. So how blessed is a man who finds wisdom, and that's the word Sophia. It's in Greek, and it means wisdom. It's the female pronoun refers to it. We have a woman's name, Sophia. And the man who gains understanding, for her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. And then there's an interesting phrase here. Long life is in her right hand. So as we get the wisdom of God, we can be blessed with long life. Her ways are pleasant ways. Oh, and then it says, in her left hand are riches and honor. And all her paths are peace. And then here in verse 18 is where it says, she is a tree of life. By the way, that phrase does not occur that often in the Bible. I mentioned Genesis, Revelation. The other places where it occurs primarily would be in Proverbs. In fact, it appears in a few places in Proverbs. I'm going to look at each of those. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. So finding the wisdom of God is to find life and to find that tree of life that sin separated us from. Wow. And happy are all who hold her fast. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. See, already Proverbs is going back to the beginning. Founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps were broken up and the skies drip with dew. He's talking about creation. And that's, of course, when we first were introduced to the tree of life. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. So there's another reference to life. Hold on to these things. Hold on to wisdom. Because wisdom and discretion will be life to your soul Wow. And adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way. And look at the qualities of a life that comes through God and the tree of life and wisdom. Then I want to point out words that describe the kind of life we have in God. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. So we're talking about life that is good, life that is a blessing, even when there's trouble. Something that my study, by the way, I'm just going to mention an aside that I don't remember noticing. You know, when, and I'm not sure, I have to think about this, and I'm not sure where I'm going to go with it. And I'm sure all you Bible scholars know this, but anyway, here's what I noticed. The dirt out of which man was formed was not the dirt of the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was planted after man was created from the earth. And when man was banished from the garden, we're going to see this in Genesis. When he was banished from the garden where he was placed as a blessing to till it, and it was a great place, when sin drove him out of that garden, he went back to where he had been created. And the dirt, he was now tilling the dirt from which he was originally created, not the blessing of the garden where he had been placed, but now sin had driven him out. I don't know what that means. I'm just pointing it out. I noticed that in Genesis. Sometimes as I read Scripture, I just see things I hadn't noticed before. And I hadn't thought about that, that the dirt from which man was created was outside the garden. And the reason I noticed is that that's what Genesis says. Let's read that. Then in Genesis 2, 7 to 9, "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." I love the illustration, the metaphor, the vision that Ezekiel had of the dry bones. You know, once the dry bones in the valley were brought together, they rattled, and we have a song about that. But it was only when the wind came and breathed life back into those bones, like the breath of God gave life to man. So life is more than our physical being. Life is more than breathing. It's more than moving. It's more than a beating heart. Life has a quality that's more than physically living. Plants live. Animals live. Man has a life that is a soul that has a quality beyond the physical life. So once he was formed, it was because God breathed the breath of life into him that he became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. So see, he planted the garden after. "Out of the ground the Lord caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Now, in between where I'm reading, we know that God forbid them to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They did, and they sinned, and they were cursed because of it and driven out of the garden. So here's what it says at the end of chapter 3 after that fall. "Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take also from us the tree, and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken." That's where I get that acknowledgement that, wow, He was banished from the blessing beyond even the breathing, back to outside the garden. So he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. So going along with the fall of sin was to be cut off from the tree of life. Now we get the Proverbs, even before Jesus had come, and we still see that there is a tree of life, and that tree of life represents what life really is. Something also that I've noticed about this, actually I read this in a commentary, and I thought, wow, that's true. You can think of life in two ways. You can think of the quantity of life. That's how many years you're going to live. You can also think of the quality of life. How are you living? And both can be limited through life circumstances, short lives. Look at Victoria Grace, who lived in the womb and then on earth into her sixth day. That's a short life. There's some who live into their 90s, not to mention Betty. Betty, you're 90. Plus, that's many years. So there's a longness about life which can be a blessing. And notice in the proverb, it said that nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand. So it is a blessing to have a long life. But what about the quality of life? I think that comes into this proverb when you hear about the tree of life. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. See, there's a fullness of life in addition to a length of life. And I think we see this repeated as we go into the Proverbs that mention the tree of life. It says, the fruit, this is Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteousness is a tree of life, and whoever captures souls is wise. Proverbs 13:12, delayed hope makes the heart sick, but fulfilled desire is a tree of life, not numbers of years. I'm not here to say there isn't value to a long life and to all the years we get, but, you know, life is not measured primarily by its duration. I remember I saw a tombstone at the Mennonite Cemetery. You can actually see it as you're waiting at the light there on the right. There's a little tombstone that says of a child who died very young, shortly after birth. It says, budded on earth to bloom in heaven. That little child's life was just as valuable as any other life. So it's not primarily about length, quantity of years. Proverbs 15:4, the tongue that heals is a tree of life, but a devious tongue breaks the spirit. And in Revelation, in chapter 2, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. By the way, the context of this is the first of the seven letters. It's a letter to Ephesus, and it's the closing words. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. It's in the garden. And in Jesus, which the revelation was about, it was the revelation of Jesus to John. There's a clear reference that through Jesus, we now have an access to the tree of life again. So life is so key, and life comes to us like getting back to the garden. And then at the end, now I'll go to the end of Revelation. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life. Interesting, the water of life. Bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and to the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city also, on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. So this tree of life that appeared in the beginning, and we know that if Adam and Eve had just eaten the tree of life and not the forbidden tree, we wouldn't have sin. But sin not only drove them from the garden, it drove them from the tree of life, but now that's restored to us. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And then at the end it says, blessed in Revelation 22, 14, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. See, God started with a garden. He finished with a city, the holy city, the Zion of eternity. And we not just go back to the garden, we go to a city. And then here's the very end of Revelation. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of this book and this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. That's the end of the Bible, book of Revelation. So I think when we are considering life and the image of the tree of life, we need to remember that we're there by the grace of God and we have life that's not only long but full, and we need to be asking God to help us experience the fullness of life. The fullness of life. It's not just living a long life. There are some other proverbs that talk about life. And one final observation as I use these verses to wrap up. There's a contrast in Proverbs. And this is an interesting observation biblically. The comparison is more often between life and freedom from trouble or blessing, not life and death. You know, we have this phrase, it's a matter of life and death. And we think of the opposite of life as death. But for Proverbs, primarily the opposite of life is trouble. The opposite of life is difficulty in this life. It's not merely death. Merely death. Death's the last enemy to be defeated. And Jesus overcame death. And we do walk through death into eternal life through him. But what about until we get there? What happens to our life now? See, the life we're called to in the tree of life is a quality of life. And here's a few proverbs to show you what I mean. And then I'll show you that it also, well, let me start with the ones with death. There are three proverbs that I found that compare life to death. Okay, that's part of it. In Proverbs 11:19, genuine righteousness leads to life, but pursuing evil leads to death. So that's a comparison of life and death. 13:14, a wise man's instruction is a fountain of life, turning people away from the snares of death. And then 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning people from the snares of death, similar to the one I just read. But now look at these other ones that compare this tree of life and this fountain of life life itself to other problems that can challenge life. It's not just, we are not called as Christians to just get through this world until we can reach eternity and overcome death. We are called to life. You know, one of my favorite expressions, when people are making fun of me, they repeat this. If somebody's mocking me and they want to say something I say so much, they say, you know, you can have heaven on the way to heaven. Because I love that expression. You can. You can have life on the way to eternal life. You can have eternal life now through the fullness of life in the Spirit, in fellowship that we talked about in Sunday school. So here's a few other proverbs to consider in that regard. A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. Now we know in eternity you don't have a body of flesh anymore, but here's a comparison of life giving life to flesh. And that comes through the blessing of a tranquil heart. Proverbs 10:16. The labor of the righteous leads to life. The activity of the wicked leads to death. No. Leads to sin. Proverbs 15:27. Whoever is greedy for unjust gain dies. No. Whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live. Contrast between living and trouble, troubling your household. Two more. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked is death. No. The mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Proverbs 16:22. Understanding is a fountain of life to one who has it, but the discipline of fools is death. No. The discipline of fools is foolishness, folly. So I think you got the message. We're called to life, and we are restored by Jesus to the tree of life. And that's something we don't have to wait to get to heaven to enjoy. Although the image of heaven in Revelation is the tree of life for the healing of the nations. But we have that now. And it is freedom from trouble, or God's grace to get through trouble. It's victory over sin. It's all the things that make the quality of life special. It's not just living a long life, which is a blessing, but it's living a full life, which is also a blessing here and now in God's kingdom. Lord, we just thank you for such a simple image that runs from the very beginning of your word to the very end and fills so many verses in the wisdom of Solomon in Proverbs that we can think about something as basic as life today and realize that life is not merely getting to heaven one day, but it's all about the path. It's all about the fellowship. It's all about serving. It's about being healed and having grace through illness and all the things that comprise our lives. And Lord, may we be encouraged to know that through Jesus, that tree from which we were banned outside the garden, we now may embrace and we now may partake of life that's full, life that's free, life that is you. May we today have a better grasp of just how valuable life is and what a blessing it is even now as we live it. May we live our lives in you. And Lord, be with each of us as we pray and think about our own lives and perhaps areas where we have not taken hold of that restored gift of the tree of life, where we're we're living almost a living death, where we're estranged from you or others, where we might wobble when we walk, where our minds might wander and our lives might wander away from the path of life that you put in front of us. Lord, may this be a day of commitment and rededication for us, that we can say, Lord, our lives are a gift from you. You formed us and breathed life into us. We turned away, but we've been able to come back now through Jesus. Help us to come back in a fuller way as we confess times that we failed, as we repent, and as we trust you to give us a better quality and fullness to our lives. For your kingdom's sake, for Jesus' sake, for the good of the body of Jesus, the church, for our families, for our world. Lord, our lives are yours. May we live them to your glory. Thank you for the power of your Spirit, the truth of your word, and your presence with us as we live our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
As I was listening to you, Steve, the phrase having life abundantly just kept going over my mind, but I couldn't find it in my concordance, so I'm not sure where that reference is.
It's in the story of the Good Shepherd in John 10.
Okay.
While if you want to read what you have, I'll go to that for the closing that I do.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Well, I was, and last night I was looking up all the references to the trees of life, and you pretty much covered them all. But I do want to end with the end of Revelations, where in my Bible it's red letter, so that means Jesus himself said this to John, and whereas a lot of the other stuff, it was a messenger speaking to John. So here in 22, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to eat of the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs who practice magic arts and the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star.
Amen. And thank you. I wasn't sure what scripture to read at the end myself, so you helped me. You can stand if you want as I read this and send us on our way. This is in the story of the Good Shepherd in John 10. So Jesus again said to the disciples, truly, truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The God of peace, the God of life, be with us as we go in peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.